May the meditation of my heart and the words that I share help us see how the Spirit moves through ancient texts and within our lives today. Amen. Amen. Before I start, I actually want to apologize because so many things have happened in the news this week, I just can't process it. The ban on Muslims entering into the United States, the taking away of any environmental protection, the okay of a pipeline going through sacred land. I just can't keep up with it, and I need time to process it before I can share how God's working in that situation. So I didn't change my sermon. But next week is another opportunity to try to see how we can make sense of the senseless. Amen. The title of my sermon is To Be Continued, and you really gave me that title because I was going to preach on something else this week, but after last week's sermon, so many people came up to me and said, oh, we want to hear the ending. So here it is, To Be Continued. Not even a broken hip could keep 92-year-old George Lewin from reaching his goal of walking around the world. George Lewin had made a promise and a goal, seeked a goal, that he would walk the distance around the world. So every day he walked 25 kilometers, kept track of it in his journal, and was on his way to reach his goal. Except 30 kilometers before the end of the 40,000 kilometers, he broke his hip. 92-year-old George Lewin went through recovery and rehabilitation and physical therapy, and it was quite painful. It was quite painful. But he was able to complete the 30 kilometers before he died at the age of 93. Moses was not as fortunate. Moses, who had been leading the people through the wilderness, out of the bondage of Egypt, into that unknown territory, where the people grumbled and complained and built false idols and worshiped them, where Moses came down with the Ten Commandments and heard the resistance, where Moses grew so weary that he needed to have helpers help him. And they roamed the hot desert and roamed the hot desert, and they came to the end. And there he is on the Mount Nebo. And he can look. And he sees the Jordan River. And beyond the Jordan River, he sees the land that God had promised to the people. And Moses dies. Moses has the vision, but never completes it. Never crosses through the Jordan, the same Jordan River that Jesus was baptized in, the same Jordan River that Jesus went through, but not Moses. It was beyond his reach. Last week, I shared an amazing interpretation of what we call the new story. And some people who are in Spirit Alive have been studying that story. Was it John Smith who introduced it here? And the new story is the story about really holding science and religion together, where science says the world was created from a particular moment before there was time and space. And from that essence, everything that is was contained. And we call that the Big Bang. At that particular moment in time, everything that we know, our world, came into being. And as it came into being, that great energy came into particles. And billions, it took billions of years before these particles came together to form atoms. And then billions of years before those atoms found an affinity for one another and became a molecule. And you think about it, a hydrogen atom, two oxygen atoms. But when they come together, they create a new thing, water. Water is so different than a hydrogen atom and two oxygen atoms. And this process continued and continued throughout, I don't know how many billions and billions of years. And each time these things came together, something totally new came into being. Until we arrived. And as I had shared last week, if this was a 24-hour clock, human beings arrive at 11:59:59. And what we bring, the new thing that we bring, is consciousness, awareness, the ability to pray, the ability to be in awe, the ability to wonder, the ability to wonder, and to have gratitude, and to look at all that is and give thanks for all that is. And I ended my sermon last week by saying, what happens when humans come together? What new thing is formed when human beings fully come together in a way that creates a new community? And I left you with that open-ended question, thinking you might think about it, you might ponder it. But instead you came to the back as you shook my hand and says, I'm coming next week to get the answer. I don't have the answer. I don't have the answer. That new thing that's coming into being is something that we need to get involved with together. It's a new thing, what it means to create what Jesus called the kingdom of God. Jesus' whole ministry was about saying there's a new way of being together. There's a new thing that God is calling us to be, a kingdom of God. And it's something that, well, I'm going to give you a Greek word because, you know, I went to seminary, whatever. Koinonia. Koinonia. K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A. And I will put that word in the bulletin next week so you can Google it and look it up. Because the explanation went on and on and on. In the simplest way, koinonia is a community that is formed when we're open to the Holy Spirit moving between us and creating a new thing. Let me read a little bit of the explanation I found. Koinonia is to create a bond between comrades when people are recognized, when people share their joy and pains together, and are united because of their common experiences, interests, and goals. Fellowship creates a mutual bond which overrides each individual's pride, vanity, and individualism. It fulfills a human yearning with fraternity, belonging, and companionship. It's the ease by which sharing and generosity flows. It's a place where we participate in God's graces. It's a fellowship of sharing. And I have a whole lot of explanations, so I really encourage you to read it and ponder it. It's too much for me just to say and then for you to hold on to everything. But listen to this. It's a common unity of purpose and interest. By engaging in this united relationship, a new level of consciousness and conscience emerges, and it spurs the group to higher order of thinking and action. It empowers and encourages its members to exist in a mutually beneficial relationship. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, not only moving in the sacred ancient stories, but in our story, in the story of our life, and the story of our life together, and the story where God is calling us to be. This is the kingdom of God in the promised land. It's something totally new. The way hydrogen and oxygen create something new. Well, I did it wrong. It's two hydrogens and one oxygen. Right, okay, thank you. So we have a glimpse of what we might be called to be. We have a glimpse of what the answer to my question, last week's question, is. What happens when humans come together? What new thing is created? It's a new way of being in community together. It's a relay race. Again, the question I have is, are we going to be like George, or are we going to be like Moses? Are we going to be able to finish the race like George finished his goal? Or are we going to be like Moses, and are we going to die with the vision in our eyes and not get there? Now, if you think about George, George had a hip injury. It was very, very painful. His recovery was very painful. But he was determined to reach his goal. And if I take it just on a very basic, simple, particular example, the coming together of two congregations could be like George, trying to reach our goal, trying to form a new thing together. And as you come together, it's hard. It's hard to come together. And I'll give you an example. I helped an amalgamation of three congregations. There were three UCW units. The women who were the president of each UCW unit were powerful women. They were powerful women. And one of the reasons, and I would say as a pastor, I know this because I was their pastor, one of the reasons they were so powerful and so much in control was because in their home they were not. One of the women I know was abused. One of them had such a domineering husband that she had no voice. So the church gave her an opportunity to bloom. So it was very important for them to have this ability to have voice. And now three churches come together, and I very fondly say, we had three queens in one throne. And there was an awful lot of bum bumping. It's normal, it's natural, until you find your way, how do you be together? So we might be like George, we might reach our goal, and we have to realize we will have difficulty doing that just because of the nature of it. But we might also be like Moses. The image of the kingdom of God has been going on for at least 2,000 years, but even beyond. It started in the hearts of the people that began to follow God, and the hearts of the people that realized that there was more to life than just the stuff. And they realize that we are being called to be something more. And physically, I don't think we can accomplish it in 120 years if we live to be that long. So we need to take that precious gift and hand it on. And Moses took his wisdom and his vision, and he laid hands upon Joshua. And then Joshua carried it on. Joshua did cross the Jordan. Joshua did take the people into the new land. And that had its own difficulties. But Moses passed on what he had to what I would say the next generation. And my question to us is, are we going to get to the end? Or do we need to start thinking of who is it that we will pass on our precious gift of faith and wisdom and inspiration and love of God and the love of God? Who are we going to handed over to? Who is our Joshua? Where is our Joshua? And I think this is the work that we need to do. I think we need to be looking with open eyes saying, how will we keep the precious gift we have and make sure that it gets carried on? Oh no. She's ending with another question. Yes. Amen.